Hello,
and welcome to the Tech Guy of East Texas podcast, the show that will break down technology in common everyday terminology. I'm your host, Greg Burns. In today's episode, we will talk about email phishing and what to watch for when you're on the email, when you're on email in Outlook or Firefox. We're with Chris Walter from Avast. He's going to help us explain email phishing and what we can do to help ourselves and friends and family so we can watch for it. Hi, Chris. How's it going?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. No problem. So what can you tell everyone about email phishing? Like, where did it start from? What's going on with it last year, this year, you know, and possibly in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, phishing has been around for a long time. The term phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, actually comes from the 90s when we used to call hackers freaks with a P-H instead of an F. And they used to refer to hacking as freaking. And so they just basically took that P-H from those hackers and that terminology and applied it to phishing. Where you're using a lure or something that looks familiar and is attractive and that you might want to get you to go after it. That's really where the term for phishing attacks comes from.
Okay. I actually didn't know that. that's news to me. That's new information for me, which makes perfectly good sense. Now, I know with my email, I usually get several emails a day or a week of you've won sweepstakes or your bank account password needs to be changed. And there's a link in the body of the email. What are some of the emails you've seen and what should the end user do?
Yeah, so most phishing attacks start with a spoofing type of technique where the attackers will learn about you or somebody within a group that you're a part of so that they can then mimic something that you're familiar with, whether it be a boss, a coworker, a good family friend. You know, they're looking at social media to find out as much as they can so that they can come in under a friend's name, someone they know you know, so that they look. So they initially it'll be that spoof. And so when you receive an email, even from someone you know, if it seems like it's too good to be true or it seems like something's being offered, they're asking you to click on anything. That's when you just want to really study that link, hover over it. So that you can see the whole thing. You know, are there any small misspellings? Is an O now a zero, an E a three? Or are there a long chains of consonants that don't normally go in your friend's name that are attached to that? You know, those are all signs that it has been spoofed. That's an indication that you're part of a phishing attack. These attacks really go way beyond just the phishing attempt. That's literally the tip of the spear. And a type of phishing is actually called spear phishing. That's where they're going after a specific person. So they know the owner of your company or they know the preacher's name at your church, something like that. So they will go out to their social media pages, find you or someone who knows the preacher, and then try to take over that identity so they can send you an email looking very authentic. Okay. That's spear phishing, very, very targeted.
Okay. I know
and the goal there is to get, account names, account numbers.
Okay, cool. I know with my emails, I've actually encountered one, I think last week, that it stated that my email password was going to expire. The problem was it was sent from me. So I'm not sure why I would send myself an email stating that my email password was about to expire.
Yeah.
So the email I received had my email address in it, my name at theonetechguy.com. Mm. And the body of the email stated that, Greg, your email password is going to expire in 3 days. There's a link below. You can hit the link and change your email password. I looked at it and just puzzled, as in I didn't send myself an email. So I've seen that a couple of times now. Others I've seen.
Right. The safest thing in those situations, Gregory, is just to instead of using that email to go change your password, if you believe that it really is a need to change the password, delete the email and then go to your email account settings and physically change the password. I recommend that really for any, because social media is a big target, not with emails, Facebook, mm-hmm. you know, Google. Hey, your Google account just expired. You're not going to be able to access the internet anymore, even though you were on the internet to get that message. But, you know, some people think, oh, listen, I do need to change that. And they'll click that link. You know, that's the most dangerous thing you can do.
Yeah. I've explained to my mom that if I haven't told you I'm sending you an email, do not open the email until you contact me and ask me, did you send me an email? You know, it's like you said, if it came from me and it looks authentic, but it could be spoofed, you know, just to verify and make sure it came from me. So, but
little Zoom technical difficulty there, Gregory. Sorry about that.
I saw that. Yeah. Well, you know, it's technology. Things happen.
Indeed.
Technology. So another one I've heard of, when you say spear phishing, I know a school district, one time I read online that someone from the business office received an email from the superintendent asking for everyone's W-2s. Since it was from the superintendent, they thought it was okay. They sent out everyone, they forwarded everyone W-2s to the superintendent, and it wasn't the superintendent. So now they've set up their email to where when it's an inside email, it's in green. When it's an outside email, it's in red to let you know it's an outside email. Beware. So that's one thing I've seen. They've also incorporated, they work with a company that sends out fake emails all the time to see if you're going to report the email or open it. And if you open it, they know it's from you. So.
Yeah, there are actually organizations out there known as initial attack brokers. These are people who all they do is they specialize in hacking into networks, but they have no interest in uploading payload or anything that might get them caught. So they sell those corrupted networks to other cyber criminals.
Okay.
It's a ransomware as a service type of thing. it's very insidious, but you know, we've seen the dollars from phishing attacks alone more than quadruple year over year.
Really?
Last year, 2021, I'm sorry, in 2020, we saw around $10 million in reported revenue. So when people actually reported it into the FBI that this is what happened to us and this is how much money they took, that's what we know of. In 2021, the next year, it had jumped up to over $43 million, quadrupled. Uh-huh. And already in 2022, we're seeing that trend increase. And that's really because they become much more effective. It is a lot harder today to look at an email and know that it's a phishing scam than it was just 2 years ago. Because they're hiring professional graphic designers, professional marketing companies. You know, they're using legitimate services to make their illegitimate services look better.
Oh, wow. Wow. I know most of the emails I get that I suspect are scams have the extension on it from Gmail. You know, I've gotten one from UNLV University in Vegas from their purchasing. department. And I look at it, and the first thing I do if I receive anything like that is I actually go to that university's website and look at how their emails are set up. And on that one, I actually took a screenshot of it, emailed the person that was on the email specifically, and told her, I think y'all's server or whatever has been hacked. Let your IT team know you've been spoofed, yada, yada, yada. And she came back and told me, that's not from us. Thank you. I will let them know.
Awesome.
So I try to...
That's a great idea. Hopefully they used it. There's actually an organization, IC3.gov. That's how you can report it into the FBI. If you receive something you believe to be spoofing, you can submit it through that channel. The three C's were something along the lines of cyber criminal center. That's it. Okay. Yeah, I believe those were the three C's. So.
Okay. So basically what anyone should do if they receive an email like that is send it to that website to the FBI, as well as delete the email.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And of course, never hit a link within the email. Go directly to your main referral email, whether it's Visa, Walmart, your bank, Dropbox, whatever, and check and make sure everything's okay.
Right. Yeah, the best thing is to never put any personal identifying information, not even your email address, your date of birth, any of that information into anything that you haven't logged into because you wanted to go to that site. If it's an unsolicited request, mm-hmm. Definitely go directly to the source. Don't use that request.
Okay. Good deal. So are there any other type of phishing emails other than...
You know, we talked a lot about emails so far, mm-hmm. But phishing has really evolved into a texting. There's a new term called smishing. It comes from the SMS for texting. Mm-hmm. And in these texting attacks, basically they send out these broadcasts that has a simple link in it, like thank you for your Amazon order. Here's your gift card, or here's your receipt. You know, and if you click that link, that's going to provide information that they have a correct phone number for you. They got you in there. If that doesn't go to a website that's in trying to put malware on your phone, it very well may start tracking your internet behavior just so that they can become more familiar and make it easier for them on their next phishing attempt.
Okay. I've actually gotten a couple of those from Amazon saying that, I was like, wow. I was like, I didn't ask for it. I didn't, I wasn't expecting one. So delete.
Yes.
Is there an FBI number you can send those to as well?
I believe the same link allows you to specify how you received it. Yes.
Okay. Good deal. Sounds good. Trying to think of anything else that our listeners might ask about.
Ways of protecting, I work with a vast business. We certainly offer some endpoint protection services. Not necessarily, with ours, doesn't necessarily have to be a vast, but you definitely want to have some sort of antivirus protection on a computer. Okay. We use several different methods to prevent phishing attacks from being successful. Mm-hmm. If the email comes in and you click on the link, we have shields that can prevent the connection to that website, because when we scan it, we'll see the malicious activity. Okay. So definitely you want to have some backups in there. The most important thing is the education, like we're talking about, being aware that it exists, looking mm-hmm. for it, and being suspicious of unsolicited requests is the number one way. Okay. Beyond that, you definitely need to have something in place, firewalls, endpoint protection.
Okay.
And really, the only way to guarantee that you don't lose anything is to have an encrypted backup, some sort of online backup service. Okay. So that all that data, if worst case scenario, they get through and they can encrypt everything, you can simply just delete all of their encryption and restore your data.
Okay. So kind of like when you have the cities and businesses that are getting hit with ransomware through their emails and they don't have backups and they pretty much lose everything. Having that backup will prevent you from losing all your data up to that point. So even if you get hit with ransomware or whatever and you wipe everything out, you can at least have a starting point from other than starting from scratch. Okay. Sounds good.
Right. Yeah, because there is no such thing as a too small of a target. Right. Everybody does business online pretty much. So if you have an Amazon account, a grocery store account, something like that, other stores, on your computer, they're looking for avenues to that kind of information as well.
Okay. Yeah. Nowadays, we are an online society now. We do everything online. Yes. Some people now with mitigation and everything work strictly from home. They don't have to leave their home for anything. So they stay home and work, order food, order what they wear, everything. So that's pretty much us as well. We've gotten at that point to where if we go to Walmart, it's very seldom. It's a have to, need it right now thing, or we order it online. So yeah, we've become that hermit society in a way, if we don't have to leave home.
Some people are definitely moving in that direction.
Yep. Yep. I'm trying not to get there completely, but you never know how things are going.
It's tough, especially with the availability of social media. People can still stay connected.
Exactly.
But that's what makes those major targets. I remember it's not been that long ago that Google and Amazon were actually victims of the largest phishing scam in history because of a computer company that got spoofed that they did business with. And so they were receiving invoices for over $100 million over a 2-year period that just got paid because nobody looked into it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So as you say, nobody's too big or
nobody's
too
small. Big or too small. Yep.
Like say, you've seen it on a big level. I've seen it on a small level school district. So that goes to show you it's everybody.
Yeah.
So, okay. So everybody, like we discussed, if you are getting messages on your email or cell phone, be aware. Watch out for links. Watch out for spellings. Anything that looks weird, if you didn't ask for it, report and delete it. So thank everybody for joining us today. If you have any questions or comments or like to know more, please give us an email or a contact. I'll put all our information below. And until next time, stay secure. Talk to y'all later. Bye.